Bears coming with the blitz. Rodgers sees it, floats it down the middle. It is caught. Valdes-Scantling going to go all the way. Touchdown, Green Bay. 72 yards.
You know, MBS. Well, I don't know if it would have been a classic Wayne Larrabee, there's your dagger situation. A little too early for even Wayno to make that call.
Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you. Hey, our friends over at Neumel Medical Center reminding you that it's a new year. Make it a new you, whether it's the issues in the bedroom or maybe just lack of energy, brain fog, stamina, whatever it happens to be, or maybe just putting on pounds. You put on pounds through the holidays and through the quarantines, and you want to just kind of create a new you. Now's the time to do it. One phone number to get to all their locations, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Again, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, standing by. And Mike, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a lot of discussion today as to whether or not he is, you know, capable of making big plays at big times. He certainly garnered one yesterday when he broke away from everybody, and that's the reason you have him around, because he can blow the lid off of a defense. But consistency is not necessarily his forte.
No, it's not. I guess you just hope that improves, continues to improve over time. We've been saying that for a year and a half or so. But he did come up with the big catch in the snow on the first one. Inexplicable, because the other one hit him between the 8 and the 3, you know, on the drop. But that play is all about Aaron Rodgers. When we took the trip to Chico, we were told the story about Aaron Rodgers coming to the line. The clock was going down. It was going to be the final play of the game. His coach almost called timeout. And from standing over center, Rodgers put his hand up to the coach like, don't call timeout. I got this. He took the snap. He rolled. He found an open receiver on a one-on-one. He threw a touchdown. They scored a walk-off touchdown. And then he told all his teammates, get off the field. Don't celebrate. Just get off the field. And they got over to the sideline. And then he informed his coach, we had 12 men on the field. That's why they didn't have to call the timeout.
Right.
Because, and the refs didn't catch it. We got the touchdown. We won the game. He was a sophomore in high school when he did that. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers comes to the line. He sees confusion on the defense. The play clock is winding down. Jamal Williams, normally he would take that back and move him back over in back of the quarterback to help with the pass protection, particularly with that Bears defensive line and David Bakhtiari out. But Rodgers sees the confusion. He sees the opportunity, and he tells Jamal, you can hear him on the tape saying, stay there, stay there. Snaps the ball, drops back. MVS has got Danny Trevathan on him, not a corner, wide open, 72 yards, touchdown. And Matt LaFleur says he almost called timeout on that play as the play clock was winding down.
So in that situation, it was actually a look that we were going to bring the halfback back into the formation and have him in protection. Well, he could tell that the defense was, there was some miscommunication on defense. So he rolled with the play, just kept the back out there. And that's what's so special about a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You know, I'm sitting there looking at the play clock, ready to pop a timeout. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna trust that he's got it under control. He saw the matchup. He saw the confusion going on. We still don't know what necessarily they were trying to do, but there was something messed up, I want to say, on the defensive side, whether they were supposed to have a single high post safety, but there was definitely a blitz called, and he hung in there. You know, those two guys made a play, but that I think those are the things that not everybody understands about a guy like Aaron, just what he's capable of doing, how cool he is under pressure. That just, you just, is so special about him.
Yeah, which is when you start to talk about, well, you know, will Aaron Rodgers be a good quarterback when he's 38, 39, 40? The cerebral side of things is crazy stupid for what he recognizes, and that's something you can't just teach guys, you know?
Patrick Mahomes might still have a cannon that he can throw that ball 75 yards rolling to his right, but nobody in the league has got that kind of awareness. This guy's had it since he was a kid, like Aaron Rodgers.
He's like a football savant almost, you know, Mike?
Practically.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. The defense on fourth down, not good, but then again, Matt Nagy and company went for it numerous times on fourth down yesterday.
And they were successful, too. I mean, they were 6 of 15 on third down. And according to the Packers, according to Nathaniel Hackett, your offensive coordinator, if you can convert 40% or more on third down, you're a playoff team. And that's what the Bears are doing yesterday. And then they were 5 of 6 on fourth down. And obviously, keep the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. Mitchell Trubisky, stop trying to make him a pocket quarterback. He's never going to be that. He's just still not wired that way. Stop making him having to spend, you know, an extra moment or two really trying to read the defense. Let him give him those RPOs. He's an athletic kid. He could roll out. He can use his legs. He can, you know, make the short passes. So they dinked and dunked them all day long, and that's why that opening drive was over 7.5 minutes, and the Packers only had the ball one time in the first quarter. And that's the way it went through much of the game. And Matt Nagy was talking about how his offense was great on fourth down, but the thing where Mike Pettine, you know, the bend don't break, he was killing him in the red zone. Here's Matt Nagy after the game.
We had 6 fourth down conversions, which is probably more than we had all year long. Time of possession against this team is what we wanted. You know, we had 35 to 24 time of possession, and that's hard to do against them. Our defense to come out in the third quarter there and to get those, that five and out and that three and out. If you get an opportunity to, he throws you a ball. I'd love to be able to make that an interception with two or three of those that we had. We didn't, but we did get off the field. So I give credit there. Again, red zone for them was good. Red zone for us was bad.
He's right. I mean, the red zone was what it came down to. Even when the Packers had their backs against the wall after the turnover, they only gave up a field goal. So when the Packers are scoring touchdown, the Bears are only putting up field goals. That kind of equates to, you know, the way that the Packers get the win. And, you know, I mean, you know, they did some of their things differently with Mitch Trubisky, and the Bears look a little bit better. But still, I just think pound for pound, the Packers were just a better team.
And the Bears' offense is also a little one-dimensional right now, too, because after David Montgomery, they really don't have – of running back after that. Trubisky, then of course they get to the 1-4 and 1 at the Green Bay 24. I think they're down 21-16. That could have made it a game, maybe 11 minutes to go. And he rolls to his right, and he's going to try and drop one off to Allen Robinson. And Shandon Sullivan by this time recognizes the play, jumps in front of it, bats that ball away. You know, huge stop there for Green Bay early in the fourth quarter. So Mitch Trubisky, here he starts out as the starter. They can't score in the first half. Then they're playing a horrible game against a struggling Falcons team. He gets benched. Nick Foles comes in. Later they would be playing the Saints in a game that they played into overtime against the Saints. They brought in Trubisky for one play, and he jacked up his shoulder. He hurt his shoulder on this kind of gadget play. And so he was, you know, couldn't go back in if they wanted to for the next several weeks. Then he comes back in. He loses to Green Bay in his restart. But the confidence builds. They work with Bill Lazor more, calling plays. And then they win 3 in a row. And son of a gun, here they got a shot at getting into the postseason thanks to the Cards losing their game, their quarterback getting hurt. So Trubisky asked, despite being benched and then a 6-game losing streak there in the middle of the season, how about the fact that you're actually still going to be in the playoffs?
It's huge. I mean, this is what you work for. Really, after that 4th and 1 was really the turning point for us. When the game was 21-16 and we were going down the score, we were there to compete, but we got to be able to finish games. And a big part of that is my play. The season didn't go the way we envisioned it, but you have a new opportunity. So really none of that matters. So you just got to take advantage of that opportunity. And I'm very grateful for that. So it has got to be our best week. It's got to be my best week. And it's up to me to lead this team and make sure everyone's bringing that attitude that we got to have a great will about us and a great sense of urgency to prepare, have this be our best game preparation wise, and then go out and then execute to the best of our abilities. Because just the way the season went, all the ups and downs and everything in between, to be in the position we are now, we're very fortunate. But a lot of that is credit to the team sticking together and just hard work across the board.
As much as I want to look at the Packers heading into the postseason, Mike, and say, well, you know what, I don't think the defense can be as problematic as maybe we thought 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. But boy, special teams has certainly reared its ugly head in a couple of different circumstances here in the last four, five, six games. And it started off weird. I've never seen a challenge flag throw with no time off the clock.
That's a good point. That's a good point. No, offense is best in the business. Defense keeps on seeming to get better every week in terms of being more physical. They talk about even a higher level of work ethic in studying during the week. But special teams, again, if you got seven or eight special teams plays in a game and you screw up two of them or three of them, and special teams makes all the difference. And I go back to that Super Bowl. We covered, I think it was in Atlanta, and it was the Rams and Sean McVay against the Patriots. And everybody said, what a horrible game, it was 10-3. And I'm telling you, I was there. It was a pitcher's duel. It was some of the best special teams I'd ever seen. It was all about field position, and it was all about how the Patriots secondary knew every dang play that Sean McVay and Jared Goff were going to try and run. And they even the best open ball they had that day, it looked like a touchdown, the Patriots were able to pick it off in the end zone. And then came the special teams and the positioning. There was only three punts between both those teams in the game because they kept on going for it on fourth down with Chicago. And the Packers' offense was efficient. They only had the ball 44 snaps to Chicago's 74. At the start of the game, though, explain to me what the deal was with, and you got Tavon Austin with that fumbled punt. But at the start of the game, Cordell Patterson, to me, it looked like he touched that ball inbounds, and it should have been at the one, not out of bounds at the 40, right? I mean, isn't that the way it looked like to you?
It did. They said it happened simultaneously, but the way you understand the rules, that if the ball takes you out of bounds, where if you don't have possession of it, then that's where the ball lays dead, and that means the ball would have taken you out of bounds, which means that the ball's out in the 40. If he would have caught it and then ran out of bounds, that would have been out at the one-yard line.
So for the rest of the game, Mason Crosby is kicking it, out of the end zone, and so that Patterson, one of the best in the business, could not return it. But Sean Menenga tried something to ask Mason kick it to the right corner. It would be to his left side, and he might struggle picking it up, and maybe we can get something happening here early in the game if we win the toss and we elect to defer and all that. And instead, the Bears get it at the 40, and they drive, and they score the first touchdown. Now, a lot of these teams are using these onside kicks, and we know about onside kicks. Remember Brandon Bostic? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are using that watermelon kick. And there's this thing where some people are saying, if you got 1 foot in and 1 foot out and you take the ball, that you can neutralize it. You don't have to necessarily recover it, but you can stop the play right there on an onside kick. Now, Sean Menenga, the special teams coach, was asked this last Friday.
On an onside kick, if a guy's foot is out of bounds and he touches the ball, is the ball still live, and does it matter whether he's on the kicking team or the receiving team?
I don't want to answer that wrong. I'd have to go back and look at the rules myself as far as you're putting me on the spot right here, right off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and look at it myself and reread the rules so I don't want to answer you wrong right there.
All right. Well, there you go. He clearly went back and looked at the rules because we all saw it happen in a weird way in the beginning of that game. And then, obviously, like I said, the challenge flag is thrown. Let's do this.
That's
we'll step
kind
away.
Of an
we'll
awkward
take...
moment, though, Bill.
Your special teams coach is supposed to know that. I mean, that's the one thing is on special teams, you're supposed to know the rules. So for him to say, I got to be sure, I get it. But they have also, have told guys, hey, if you take a step out of bounds when you're touching the football, then it's out of bounds, and therefore you can bring the ball back to the 40 and actually gain 20, 30 yards of relief for your team. So they clearly know something about it. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Trubisky loads up and intercepted by Amos. Adrian Amos looking for blocks. Has a couple inside the 30, and the big interception haunting Trubisky. He's been so good today, but ill-advised that time, and the Packers take over.
You know, it was kind of weird. It just felt like they had the ball for, you know, a very long time. You know, they was converting them third and shorts, fourth and shorts, things like that. So, you know, if it's one thing that when we look on the film that we want to clean up, it's those letting them get to them short yard situations where we don't want to put ourselves in them situations to be in third and one, fourth and one. Let's get our work done more in the early downs.
Those are the words of Adrian Amos, the stabilizing factor in the secondary for the Green Bay Packers. Welcome back. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. And we're joined by our Green and Gold insider, Mike Clemens. And, Mike, Adrian Amos has certainly come in and been a stabilizing factor. But, you know, now you move into the postseason and you look for experience. I guess some of the guys, Bakhtiari, obviously not there. But you look at some of the other guys and you say, you know, to Aaron Rodgers, it starts with him and ends with him because they had that successful season in 2010 and then obviously in 2011 when they were the top seed and they get knocked off. So that's kind of where you start. You start looking for those guys that have that experience that can kind of guide some of these young guys through this.
Aaron Rodgers has been banging the drum all season, essentially after they beat the Saints in New Orleans, and so they had a feel for how good their team was. They felt real good about how their offense ran week one against the Vikings. Like, wow, this stuff is working so much better than it did last year. And so that's why he said, Saints, Buccaneers, some of these, let's get these guys to come to Green Bay. Let's play one of those teams up in Green Bay, and that's how we can, you know, get past this and get into the Super Bowl. So in 2011, they go 15-1. They lost that one game to the Chiefs. Then they get one and done to the Giants. And they had a depleted secondary, Green Bay did in that game. That was one of the things that Eli Manning was able to take advantage of. And the second thing was the Joe Philbin tragedy. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
His son Michael died like Wednesday or something that week. The funeral's on Friday, and they had to play a playoff game on Saturday at Lambeau Field. And, it tore the heart out of that team. So that's one of the things that happened in that one-and-done season after you go 15-1 coming off your Super Bowl year and just outstanding performance offensively. So Rodgers was asked, is there any lessons you can take from 2011 when you guys were the one seed?
Yeah, I think for me, maybe. I think for so many guys here, that it's new territory. It's a different league. Obviously, there's only one bye. We played in this game so many, all of us played, you know, in 11, I set out and Maddie went out and put on a show. You know, we had some guys who didn't play in that game. So, you know, it's nice to be able to go in playing. I think we need the bye. You know, we need a couple guys to get healthy. We're a little banged up. And then obviously the weather is a big factor, a big helper for us in Green Bay. So I'm not worried about any rust or anything. We've been real solid all season in situational football, and we were again today on third down in red zone. So I like our chances moving forward.
So Mike, we talked about David Bakhtiari not being there, and I know play action's a big deal for the Green Bay Packers. The one thing about it, without Bakhtiari, how much will it disrupt that rhythm of play action, that extra second you get in the pocket because Bakhtiari's there to get a guy open, things like that? You wonder how the loss of Bakhtiari is going to affect the movement of the offense.
Yeah, like if you got to go up against that Bucs defensive line again, are you going to need to get Billy Turner some help? Are you going to have to bring in a guy? Because otherwise, you might want to spread out to help set up, you know, your pass play. You remember when they went 15-1 and then 1-and-done against the Giants, and they came back the next year. Here they win the Super Bowl, and they're 15-1, and the next year they're like 4-4. And the thing that was different was they were still healthy and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, and I can reveal now, that Rodgers told me off to the side of the locker, I go, well, what's going on? He said three things, and I remember I told you this.
Yep.
Kind of off the air, but it's like it helped us figure out what was going to go on the next month or so. And they turned around and got to the playoffs again anyways. He says, number one, the refs right now. We're trying to run more of a huddle-up offense. They're taking forever to set the football, and it's screwing up the tempo. Number two, we miss Joe Philbin because Philbin had taken the head coaching job with the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Joe Philbin was so good at those in-game adjustments. and figuring out early what the defense was trying to do, and then we could react and make adjustments, and he could get that to the play caller, McCarthy. And the third thing was they were having troubles at center. That's when Jeff Saturday was in there. So and he gave us that information. And that's in the back of my mind about how this young group, between LaFleur, other playing the calls, and he's got Luke Getsy as his quarterback coach, and he's got Nathaniel Hackett, and Rodgers is out there running the game, but someone's got to spot this stuff and tell Rodgers, what do you see? So I asked Hackett about that, and also about why is their play action so much better this year in year two than it was last year?
You know, I think it's, you know, when we all got together, we wanted to be sure we were balanced, and we wanted to be sure that everything looked the same, and people wouldn't know if it was a run or a pass. We also wanted them to have to cover the entire field, which stresses the defense out. So if they don't know if it's a run or a pass and they got to cover the whole field, you're going to put some defenses in a bind. I think we've done a really good job with that across the board. I think both marrying the run and the pass, and then, I mean, the protection has been great up front with the offensive line. They've done an awesome job. And then when you can run the ball, I mean, that's going to open a lot of things on those second and third levels. And I think that it's just everything's meshed really well. I think everybody's done a great job being on the same page, understanding what they need to do, why we're calling things. I think it's a huge credit to the coaches and to the players. I mean, our mental errors are way down compared to last year. So I think knowing what to do is always the first step in it. And when the guys know what to do, then you can start talking about those fundamentals and different ways to just get better at their craft. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing those guys get better at their craft and understanding the big picture so much more. And that's when the things come alive on the field and big plays are had.
1 year, Aaron and the Packers went 15-1. The next year, they got off to this rough start on offense. And after about a month or two into the season, Aaron said, you know what? We missed Joe Philbin. He had taken the job in Miami because of his ability to diagnose what the defense was bringing up. What is that role like for you in those first two or three series to figure out what are the wrinkles? What are they doing different? And what's that process like?
I think you're kind of doing it throughout the entire game. I think, you know, all the coaches are. I think you go in with a game plan on how you want to attack a team. And then for us, everything, you know, a lot of the time when we play people, you know, having Aaron back there, people want to give him different looks. So you just have to be ready for anything and everything. You know, I feel like we do a great job in preparation leading up to the game to try to be prepared for anything that we might be able to see, whether it's a pressure or whether we think we might have gotten beat the week prior on something, potentially getting that. We just try to put the guys through so many different things so that when it does get to game day, you know, we're always looking for that. We're looking for something that might be open. We want to be sure that we have enough enough different versatility in the plan to be able to adjust. So it's one of those things, you know, it's just something we're always adjusting. We're always trying to get the best play and get the guys in the best position. And myself, Matt, all the coaches, we're all trying to adjust and see how we can attack.
Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up with Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider. He's on the line with us. Hang in there. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
First and goal over the middle. Caught for the touchdown by Adams.
Pass goal.
And the first round bye is in reach.
Says a lot about our team, man. I mean, just shows the resilience that we have. I mean, it's not easy to go out against. It's a good team. Doesn't matter what, how many games they lost in a row or whatever it was, you know, when they hit a tough spot in the season. But you look around, they got really good personnel. They got a quarterback who doesn't get a whole lot of respect, but he can create and he can do a lot of different things, you know, that make it tough to go against, especially when.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. Devontae Adams, between him and Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of like the modern-day version of Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. I mean, they are on just a different level right now, the way they're getting it done. Aaron Rodgers breaking his own touchdown record. Throws up 48, breaks it by three, as a matter of fact. Devontae Adams setting records, and he played four less games than Sterling Sharp did. So, I mean, it's just an amazing season that these two have put together between them. And you know, Mike Clemens joining us, our Green and Gold Insider. Mike, you know, it's just it's to watch them right now you could say that maybe the most important non-quarterback MVP candidate in the league would either be Derrick Henry or maybe Davante Adams by the way he's playing. It's just, it's been amazing to watch.
An interesting thing we learned last week post-game that Devontae said was, you know what? He said, if you just give me single coverage, I'm not worried about what the defense is doing. And when they see that, there's some teams that say, you know what, we'll do other things and scheme this out. I know it sounds simple, but they, you know, the Bears did go with double coverage, with put Kyle Fuller on him, and then a safety or another defensive back. What was interesting is it took three quarters for the Packers to adjust and say, well, let's move Devontae inside, and that's when things got going for him. They've got to react sooner to that. But he gets the six catches. He surpasses Sterling Sharp for most receptions in a season for setting a franchise record. And there's these intimate moments that we haven't been able to share with the team after these wins that Aaron Rodgers even said, you know, I feel sorry for you guys. But he talked about what he said to number 17 after the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what I told Tay in the locker room. I said 13 and a half games, and you just had the greatest season of a Packer receiver in history. And I meant it. And it got me emotional. It gets me emotional in this moment.
I'm glad that they have got that connection. That goes to show when all the stuff that he has talked about in regards to Davante Adams is heartfelt and meaningful. He talks about his leadership. He talks about his respect. He talks about his friendship. All of that comes into play when he says, it makes me emotional now.
You got vocal leaders, you know, emerging. Zadarius trying to pick that up. And Adrian Amos really stepping it up over on defense. We talked about, though, you got to figure out something better for identity. You got guys in the back end, like, you know, I'm the one that asked two, three weeks ago, hey, coach, can you tell me about 49, Dominic Daphne? And that's when, you know, I get other people looking at me like, why are you asking about the last guy? Because these guys, you only got two tight ends right now. I don't think Jay Sternberger is going to make it. And the guy ends up catching a touchdown. They're making a great play in special teams. You could see it when they were using it on special teams 2 weeks ago, and during the warm-ups, this kid's got size, and he's got some pretty good hands. And LaFleur raved about him then, and he's, you know, raving about him now after the game. And then it's LaFleur who's, you know, straight, let the players be the star. I'll open my door. I'll listen to what the players say a little bit in terms of changing the schedule. But LaFleur went to Jamal Williams. The guy likes to dance through practice. And he kind of made him a bet. He goes, if we win this game in Chicago, I'll do a Jamal Williams dance for you. So LaFleur talked about that after the game.
I don't know if you can call it that, but I was telling Jamal that, you know, we take care of business. I'll bust out a few moves now. They're not very good, but I've never been known for my dancing ability, but he inspires me on a daily basis, just how he brings it every day in practice on the field. And so I told him he's got to teach me a few moves.
And I don't know, did they ever come out with a video? Did they show Matt LaFleur in any video right now, busting a move, Mike, or are we just
they
hearing?
They haven't released any video of the locker room all season. I don't think the crew's actually allowed in there.
Okay.
Because of COVID, they're trying to keep
it. I thought maybe one of the players had posted or something. Maybe they had a phone.
Oh, maybe.
Like
yeah, maybe. Yeah, or somebody
but
dropping a trophy. No, that's the Badgers. Sorry, I'm off topic.
Hey, Snacks Harrison saw some time with the Packers, too, and he did what he was there to do.
He's in there because he's a veteran, and he's got more experience than Anthony Rush, the 260-pounder. They claim that Snacks is only 339, you know, not from what I saw on the practice field. But this guy is a character because, you know, he moved his family from Detroit to Seattle, and he was asked, how many kids have you got, Snacks?
Who? You got pen and paper, man? It's seven of them. I have seven, right? And ages 12, 10, 6, 3, 1-year-old twins, and a 5-month-old. Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody. 12, 10, 6, 3-year-old, yeah, 1-year-old twins, and my 5-month-old. That's seven. Yeah, that's seven.
Well, you got to start going, wait a minute, let me, you know, that's like Huey, Dewey, Louie, you know, going through the whole, you know, hand list there. Yeah, you got to make sure. You don't want to miss any of the kids.
For him to just have a shopping spree and buy the toy store for his family.
Exactly.
It gets to be Christmas
yeah.
time, yeah.
Completely agree with you. Completely agree. Hey, this week, guys are out on the bye, and I guess the one thing is don't get COVID. Beyond that, take care of yourself, right?
That, and there's an awful lot of guys. You know, the first guy I think of is Za'Darius Smith and that ankle he's been dealing with and what a
right.
break it is for him, or the shots that Aaron Jones took yesterday, maybe even A.J. Dillon from the week before. Everybody's got bumps and bruises from the quarterback on down. That's why you want that bye. And it's one less game is one step closer to Tampa Bay. We shall see.
You know, we always have that if the Packers are going, we have a standing offer from our buddy Bob. He contacted me last night and said, "Hey, the house is available." So
that would be awesome. That would
it's be not awesome. That far of a trek if we have to after we go there on a moment's notice to have some lodging. So
yeah, no, wouldn't it be like Aaron Rodgers? The last time he went to Super Bowl, it's 16 degrees and an ice storm. It was a ghost town in Dallas when you and I were down
right.
there. And then the next time he went to Super Bowl is in the middle of a pandemic. It was just
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hey, they win, though. That'll at least bring us a little bit of joy coming out of the pandemic. Good stuff, Mike. We'll talk later this week.
Thank you, Billy.
See you, buddy. That's it. Time for us to go. Reminder tomorrow, Donald Driver. We go back 10 years and talk about that Super Bowl run, and we compare that team to this year's team. Double D is going to be joining us in the last hour of the program tomorrow. Until then, have a go.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.